Hello and welcome to You Are From God, brought to you by the West Mason Church of Christ. My name is Tyler Hall.
And I'm Scott Taylor, and we're both evangelists at the West Mason Church of Christ, and we're so thankful that you have joined us today. This week we're talking about another name of Jesus, and this is the Lord of the Sabbath. And Tyler, it's interesting to me how often Jesus was doing something on the Sabbath day. Normally it was one of these amazing miracles that he was doing, and Mark, the second chapter, is no different, and you just come across the idea that they focused on the wrong thing so many times, and this is another one of those times where they do that. There's a man that is being carried by four men, and he's a paralytic, and they're trying to figure out a way to get him down, and we're told how they go through the roof, and they lay him down right before Jesus, and Jesus talks about how your sins are forgiven. All these amazing things in Mark, the second chapter. And they were shocked, really, by what he was saying. So he says, look, which one's easier? I'll just do both. You know, you walk and I'll forgive your sins. And so the understanding of what's going on. And it continues on in this conversation of what's going on. And they're so focused on the fact that it's the Sabbath day, that the disciples are picking some grains, some heads of the grains off, and they're going to eat them. And they're just following him, looking for things that he's doing on the Sabbath day. You know, later on, there's going to be this perspective of a guy picking up his pallet and walking, and he's working, and all this different perspective on the Sabbath day. And it's fascinating to me how often this occurs. But Jesus gets straight to the point, as he always does, and points out the blindness of what they were so focused on. And in verse 27, it says, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Consequently, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." You have this amazing perspective of what truly the Sabbath was for, what we see in the Old Testament and the importance of that day and what occurs on that day, and there's no question, there's no mistaking how of the importance of that day, especially in the Old Law. But we also can and should understand who the Lord is and what he does and how he changes things, and what, getting back to what it truly was always about, and the idea going forward, how that impacts us. And that's what we're going to talk about today, really how the scriptures in the New Testament specifically introduce us to this Lord of Sabbath, and how we can go forward understanding what the scriptures say indeed about the Sabbath.
Well, it's fascinating to even just consider the Pharisees spend all this time driving this point home, or constantly trying to seek that this was their, this almost seemed to be like their favorite subject of, well, you're doing this on the Sabbath, you're not respecting the Sabbath, you're not regarding the Sabbath as holy, and they're talking to the one who wrote the law, they're talking to the one who was with God in the beginning. The whole concept of the law comes from him, this one, the Word, as John chapter 1 will say, the Word became flesh. So when they're saying, you know, don't you understand the law? And Jesus just says, yeah, I wrote it. don't you understand the law? The fact that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This concept of, we can totally, to your point, like the Pharisees, be blind and miss just exactly what these things are about. We can get so caught up in the ritual or traditions that we might have understood, whether it's been how we've been taught growing up, the things that we find comfort in because of repetition. But ultimately, we have to come back to the scriptures and understand, what's the Sabbath about? When it was instituted back in Exodus chapter 20, this whole concept of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, the resting on the seventh day, that God set up this example, even in the creation week. And to understand, okay, so that's the Old Testament, but books like Hebrews and Galatians and all these different verses in the New Testament make it emphatically clear that there's this transition that takes place. And so the old law has given way to the new. There's this old covenant, and now it's been replaced, as Jeremiah 31 will say, with a new covenant. So what does that new Sabbath look like? So Colossians chapter 2, I think, does a fantastic job of alluding to this, at least. And in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, Paul will say, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ," he says. So this whole concept of a day of rest finds its fulfillment, finds its purpose, finds its culmination in Jesus Christ and his gospel. So when we understand what Sabbath rest really is, it's not about Saturday, as it was for the Jews. It's not about not being able to do a certain amount of work, is what the Pharisees were so fixated on. It's about Hebrews chapter 4. It's about this idea that we have this access to this eternal rest with God because of what Jesus has done. I just want to read a little bit from Hebrews chapter 4. And let's start in verse 4. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. This concept of striving to enter God's rest is fundamental to understanding what it means to walk as a Christian, the incredible hope that we have as God's child, and the fact that I can't do that on my own. I cannot by my own goodness, by my own strength, by my own will, enter God's rest on my own. The whole Old Testament highlights time and time and time again how we by ourselves constantly fall short of the glory of God. The law is there to show us in that Old Testament that humans by ourselves are impossible to measure up to the holiness that God calls on us. And that is exactly why Jesus comes in, so that we can experience true spiritual eternal rest with God. He opens this door and we are able to walk through hand in hand with him, so that we, even though we're striving with the strength that God supplies. Even though we're going through this time of work and of struggle, Jesus is right there with us, and there's this hope of rest that we are going to enter into.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that we're not suggesting that the Saturday was the big issue, as you had brought up. Mm-hmm. And we certainly are hoping that you're not walking away listening to this thinking that we're talking about Sunday's the new Sabbath, as you've been saying. Is the idea, as Tyler clearly said, is this is about Jesus, and this is about the rest that we have in him. And it's such an important subject from that perspective, the idea of him being the Lord of the Sabbath, and as we just read in chapter 4 and verse 9 of Hebrews, that's rest for his people. And so if you're not one of his children, we would love the opportunity to talk to you. I mean, if there's a subject that you would like us to discuss on this program, please let us know. You can give us a call at 513-398-9607. You can leave us a message, or you can go to our website, westmasonchurchofchrist.org. where you certainly are more than welcome to send us an email or look up a lot of the different things that we've talked about, whether it's in a sermon or articles or even older podcasts that we've done, that you can look and see on those things there. That's also where you can find the directions to our building if you're in this area. We would love for you to come in and join us. But if there's anything that we can do for you, just please let us know. We are so thankful that you have listened to us this week. Hopefully next week you'll be able to catch again another program talking about the names of Jesus and how awesome he is and what he has been able to do for us in so many different ways. But as far as this week, we thank you so much for listening to You Are From God.